Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is May 4th. I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Want to start the call off the way – well, actually, before I do that, I have an announcement, a very exciting announcement. Next week, please put it on your schedule. Don't miss that next week we have the immediate past president, Jim Stern, WQA president. Jim Stern will be our special guest next week, so please be ready for that. It's always, you know, every year we have been fortunate enough to kind of debrief with the WQA past presidents and talk about their year and stuff like that. So always kind of interested in interesting conversations to get a take on the industry and the you know WQA and that sort of thing. So please join us next week for Jim Stern, Media Past WQA president, and as we have a conversation with him. And so with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? Or anything we can do to any questions we can answer for you, anything we can do to help?
Hell yeah, I do.
Go, Jen.
First off, happy May the 4th. Great Star Wars, whatever. Is it Star Wars?
Oh, no. May the 4th be with you, right.
May the 4th be with you, yeah. It's not Star Wars, though, is it? Star Trek?
Hey. Wow. You cannot. You leave it at Star Wars. You can't.
Leave it at Star Wars? Okay.
Wow.
Anyways. So last week, when I was in Minnesota, they received a phone call saying that somebody on City Water, getting iron and some icky looking stuff, and it smelled really bad. And so I looked on the website for the city and even went on their public works and water department websites and Facebook page, didn't see anything. So I called the water department and they were flushing the lines. This is most common time, the spring and
the
fall.
It's the season.
Tis the season for especially the northern states, because now we're at a point that it's not going to, well, in most cases, it's not going to freeze right away. So they're flushing the hydrants and all that yummy stuff that kind of builds up over the months that are in the infrastructure. They're starting to kind of clean some of that out. So. If you're getting those phone calls, that would be the first thing, is to check with the local water department, find out if they are indeed flushing the hydrants. If they are, what they most commonly recommend is just go ahead and run the water for 5 to 10 minutes and just flush it out, your own lines. And don't do any laundry at that time, and so on and so forth.
Good idea. If you don't have a sediment filter or any kind of a pre-filtration, it's a good idea to bypass your equipment before that happens, because that stuff can get inside the equipment and cause problems as well. So yeah, 'tis the season. That pretty much happens. Anybody else dealing with that? The hydrants this time of year, anybody else getting those calls?
So we get it a lot in our neighborhood, in my town, the town that I actually live in, because our city water is well water, and then when they backflush those hydrants, you'll get the brown water, and then everybody's posting on next door, why is my water brown, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I will tell you, a nice dual-grade density 2501 filter takes care of the problem.
Yeah. So 25. Yep.
Can you explain what that is? Yeah. Yep, 25 micron. Yeah. So, because I know there's some newer people on the call and newer ones, but 25 micron filter will do just fine.
So, what a dual grade is it starts out as a 25 micron on the outside to catch the larger particles, and goes down to a 1 micron on the inside to catch the smaller stuff.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I use it a lot on, you know, problem well water to help prevent clogging up eductor valves and things like that.
Yeah.
But as I said, on city water, the problem I had was they use stuff in the water to absorb the iron. It also absorbs dirt, and it was clogging up my tankless water heater.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
So I put that in, and I haven't had a problem with my tankless fence, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Nice.
I put that about 2 years ago because it was always clogging up. The mud was always clogging up, and, you know, and I mean, I'd have it flushed out, and it'd be clogging up 2 months later again.
Yeah.
And I put that in, and I haven't had to, and flushed out everything. Haven't had to flush it since.
So definitely even just the sediment filter will keep the big chunks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In some instances, one of the things that you have to be aware of when it comes to back flushing, when they flush the hydrants and they pull those things out, you can get back siphoning as well on the city water lines, meaning that if you don't have a lot of pressure or, you know, as they flush those lines, there can be so much pressure coming, you know, almost pulling the water backwards through the water line. And I have heard of instances where if you don't have proper air gaps then or properly drained equipment, then it can bring the wastewater back through those drain lines through cross connections. So it really does highlight the importance for a proper air gap or even a check valve in some instances on those drain lines. So, that can certainly create that if you get a lot of back siphonage through the water lines. So, good. Excellent. Anybody else have any thoughts on that or any comments?
I apologize. I just jumped in. It's Paul up in Traverse City.
Hey, Paul in Traverse City.
Maybe you were talking about a check valve on an RO drain line. Is that correct?
Nope. We were actually talking about flushing the
hydrants. Flush.
Yeah, tis the season for fire hydrant flushing, and the importance of proper drain connections if it creates a back siphonage through the drain line.
Okay, very good.
So thank you, Paul. That's actually, you know, another good conversation to have at some point is we can actually talk. It might be a good topic of call, you know, to talk about those drains, to have a drain line discussion sometime in the call. Maybe we'll make that a topic in the future. I'll get somebody on who is, you know, the problem with drain line connections is they are so different in many cases from state to state or, you know, even local jurisdiction from local jurisdiction. So, but there are some general rules of thumbs when it comes to, I mean, the one, you know, general rule is you don't have a cross connection. You have to have an air gap. You don't want the ability for potable water to get mixed with drain and wastewater. So, all right. Anything else before we jump into our topic today?
Yeah, I have one. It's Gary the Water Guy calling here from Canada.
Hey, Gary.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Good. Looking forward to having you on as a guest here pretty soon. So we've been emailing back and forth.
I'm looking forward to being there. So what happened to me, we have a local customer here that's got an air over media FOK iron and sulfur filter. And we were struggling with the longest time to kept getting sulfur smell. Now they had significant amounts of sulfide, 14 parts per million. And anyway, we put on one of the old clack air injectors that goes before the pressure tank to suck in more air. And much to our surprise, it worked. Got rid of the sulfur smell.
Good. Good. Yeah, with air injection, yeah, because it's going to oxidize that, convert it to an elemental form, and then be able to filter it out, right?
Yeah, but the air injection from the air over media just wasn't enough. So adding
the
second
yep.
level of air injection is what actually fixed it. So that was the first
one. Yeah. Yeah, definitely, and you know, I see a lot of companies do that with, you know, with a compressor, you add that, and you can also add, you know, there, sometimes you need a little chemical injection as well, peroxide or chlorine to do it. So, yeah, sometimes actually just tweaking the equipment a little bit will make the solution. Excellent, thank you. All right, anybody else? So I wanted to talk a little bit about Ring doorbells today, and also even, you know, security cameras up in the house, and you know, just kind of have a discussion about this, because this is definitely now something that we all run into. Now, I have always for, you know, for 25 years I've been doing this, I've always kind of, the advice I have given is that if you wouldn't say it in front of a Dateline camera crew, or, you know, the local news station, then I wouldn't suggest you say it at all, because, you know, those things can kind of be taken out of context, and, you know, things can be twisted and turned. In fact, the reason I say the Dateline camera crew is because years ago, when I first started in sales, there was Dateline went in with these hidden cameras and talked about water treatment guys. And there were three different manufacturers that went in, and there was this little old lady, you know, and they went and did the big magic show and talked about it. And there was this, one of the guys actually told the lady that if she had fluoride in her water, then it could make her bones explode. You know, sometimes bones actually explode, and even made the little, you know, little sound effect on it. And I mean, it was, this whole story was probably only 5 or 6 minutes long, but they had a lot of cameras. They had three different companies and they had clips. So two of the companies came in and they highlighted like the worst possible things that these guys could say. The one guy I think was just making stuff up. I mean, clearly he had no business representing our industry. And it was, you know, it was really terrifying. The other guy looked a little newer, looked like he, you know, somebody who knows the scripts knows what people say. I could tell that what he said was wrong, but I could tell where the mistake came from. And as somebody, you know, at the time, I was just in sales myself when this happened. And, you know, I didn't think it was malicious, but boy, did Dateline make it look malicious. You know, they twisted it and turned it into the most, you know, like horrible thing, you know, with complete with scary music in the background and everything. I mean, this is what they do, right? With the problem solvers and all of that stuff. And of course the third company came in and was all roses and didn't say anything wrong and was great and helped the little old lady and made it, you know, all great and everything. It was really like a 6 minute commercial on Dateline for this other manufacturer. It was kind of, it was a competitor of ours too. So, you know, as somebody in sales, that was, and I actually lost some sales over that, by the way. There were people who saw that canceled orders. I had a couple of them that canceled orders because one of the companies that they represented was also a dealer for the manufacturer that I sold at the time. It was in a completely different state. And as it turns out, that dealer ended up had been dropped by the manufacturer, was not an authorized dealer, but was still claiming, and they ended up having a lawsuit and sued and won in that case, you know, the manufacturer. But the damage was done. You know, it was still all over Dateline, all over on national television. And, you know, there, Dateline had gone in and they'd put cameras up in this house and they, you know, had done the recording. There was a lot more effort put in. You know, that was 25 years ago. Most people didn't have that kind of obvious surveillance in every house. But it really taught me a lesson. You know, I saw that and I thought, man, I have to be careful when I go into a home to make sure that what I say can be backed up, that I'm not making false claims, that I am, you know, able to really verify everything that I'm doing, that I'm not using scare tactics? You know, what would I say that could be used against me if it was those, you know, Fox 2 problem solvers, right? They come in and, you know, and they have the hidden, every once in a while that sort of thing happens, you know, where they, you know, they do one of those exposés. These days, people have cameras all over the place. You know, I mean, in my place, when we have people come in to, you know, to check on the pets when we're gone, we have a camera that we turn on, you know, and it's there. It's just, it's mounted on the cabinet and mostly it's off, but it could be there. There's certainly people have Ring doorbells, and I think about that. Even, you know, I don't know if you've ever gone up on the, you know, gone up to, what are you doing on the doorstep? You know, when you knock on the door, you know, do you have somebody with you? Are you saying things like, oh man, we're going to get so much sale, or, oh my God, look at, they've got a nice car. They have the money. We probably are going to get a good sale on this one. You know, anything like that, anything that the customer could hear, you know, are you picking your nose? You know, what are you doing? You know, because we all kind of have to be aware that we can be listened to. And by the way, it's not just the door that we're standing at, right? It's, you know, you have to assume if you're in a neighborhood and there are houses across the street, that you're probably being recorded by multiple cameras. And so where you park, how you park, how you drive through that neighborhood, you know, I mean, even if it's not an appointment, even if you're not going to a house, if you've got a company vehicle, you know, a logoed vehicle, how you drive through that neighborhood is a factor. You know, that stuff is all being recorded, but it's even more likely now that when you're going in and, you know, having these conversations and you have your appointment in a home, that it could be pretty easily downloaded, documented, and taken out of context, or even in context if, you know, if it was something that really, you know, sometimes there's certain things people say that there's no other context other than what they said it. You know, so I'm wondering if any of you have had this impact you, or if you react or behave or speak differently with an awareness that that this is the world we live in now, you know, that we live in a world of Ring, you know, or Arlo, or, I mean, I don't want to give any shout out to one specific brand necessarily, you know, Google cameras, or, I mean, shoot, even Alexa, and, you know, the all the little Amazon devices or the Google devices that are out there. I mean, they can all listen, you know, they can all, and we don't even have any awareness of it at all. So how does that impact you guys? Have you had it impact you? Have you run across a situation where that's come back to bite you, or maybe come back to save you? Have any of you run across this as an issue, or have you given any thought to it as we go out there into homes today?
Kelly, I've got something to thought on that, if I might. And that
Please.
Is that, you know, you're talking about that dateline of 20 years ago. I would say that things have changed somewhat. What you're saying is valid about the Ring doorbell. I'm not discounting that. But now you have YouTube videos. You have, anything you want to research on the Internet, you can research. And most of the people that I would think it's safe to say that most of the people you're going to talk to have done some research. People are more educated now than they were 20 years ago, the consumers. And Dateline was guilty of the same thing those other two companies, doing the same thing those other two companies were guilty of. And that is, you know, making things look, going to extremes to make, you know, prove their point, be it true or not. And so I think it's important to watch what you're saying, like just as you said. But I think that it might have less of an impact. Simple statement, might have less of an impact than it did some time ago.
Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Yes, people are definitely more aware and study things more than they used to, but in that aspect, sometimes they learn a lot of things that aren't necessarily correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've always kind of lived my life to this point that I'm not going to do anything that I wouldn't want my grandmother to see.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I think that there's two solid points on that, Stacy, that, and Jerry, thank you very much. I agree. So I would say, and anybody else jump in if they have a thought on this as well, but I just want to kind of respond to both of those real quick. I agree that the information is there. I would say that it's surprising how few people actually delve in and actually go there to look at it. You know, so I wouldn't say that it's most people that are aware, because there's still an awful lot of homes that we go into that people just don't have a clue. You know, they have no clue what they're looking at. And I think a lot of that is because they don't know, you know, sometimes when you're looking for stuff on YouTube, you have to know what words to type in on YouTube, you know, and sometimes they may not know the lingo. So I think they're more likely to do research after somebody has left the home, because now they have the words and the phrases that, you know, to type in and do a YouTube search. They know what they're looking for. You know, if you don't know what I've run into that when I've tried to figure out something there's something I want to do and there's a part that I don't know the name of it and I don't know what word to put into YouTube to look, you know, or what phrase to put into YouTube to look for it. You know, you have to kind of find that terminology. So I think the resources are there, but I don't know that as many people do it ahead of time. And then I think, Stacy, your point is extremely valid, is that YouTube, it's really easy to upload. You know, there's no fact-checking on YouTube. So, you know, other than in comments, you know, I guess some people can write comments in there, but there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of things done wrong on YouTube. Gary, are you still on? So, Gary, the water guy that hopped on earlier that we're going to have as a guest speaker actually runs a very, very, very popular YouTube channel. And that's one of the things I'm sure we'll talk about when he is on as a guest speaker. So watch for that. We've just got to come up with a date. That's going to be kind of an interesting call in the future here too. So he's got a really, really nice YouTube channel that has a ton of information on there. So, any other thoughts on that? Those are both really great comments, great thoughts. Any other thoughts about that?
I think it's
it's Michelle. Oh.
Go ahead, Michelle.
No, go ahead, Michelle.
Sorry, thanks. I just wanted to take a slight different viewpoint on what you said originally, Kelly, regarding if you're standing at the front door and you're making comments. If you take the cameras out of it, if someone's in the house and they're down the basement, just down the steps, and a homeowner happens to be standing at the top of the steps, and the person might be downstairs, or it could be an installer, or even a salesperson looking at, doing a plumbing assessment, and maybe they call up the office and say, oh, I can't believe they sent me out here for this, you know,
right.
Or if it's even the installer saying that, you know, oh, they said that, you know, if it wasn't a proper plumbing assessment and the installer's there looking at it and it's like a nightmare install and he calls up the office and he starts complaining. I mean, you know, we're all human. We all can get frustrated at times. But, you know, if the homeowner's within earshot and they can hear a conversation that the person's having with the office, or even if there's two people there, you know, if two people go on an appointment and they start talking to each other, that, you know, just doesn't leave the homeowner with such good feeling.
Yeah, like they're unprofessional. That's a great point, being careful not to throw your colleagues, your team under the bus, you know, to talk, or even, you know, worse yet, to say something about the customer. Hey, Do you see that baby? I thought babies were supposed to be cute. You know, something like that. You know, you say something like that, you know, that's not going to leave a good taste. True though it may be sometimes, you got to keep that stuff to yourself. I think, Paul, was that you that had something that you wanted to say as well? I think it was Paul.
Yeah, we're reminding our people all the time to mind your P's and Q's when you're going in and out of homes and never throw your teammates under the bus. We're actually quoting the McMansion for the man that invented the Ring doorbell up near north of our town, which is kind of fun to know that. Just thought I'd throw that out there. On a side note, I highly recommend you all take pictures of your installs and how you have left the home as well. We have gotten away from some lawsuits against us where the customer has stated that we have left something in a certain area. We take a picture after every service call, every install, so that we can show the customer how we left the house in case something was to happen. We have had customers try to sue us for things that they have done and then blame it on the water treatment company. It is a litigation society out there, so you got to mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah, that's really true. So they're documenting us. There's nothing wrong with us documenting our work for that protection as well. I think it's a really good point. Absolutely. Somebody else, Jen, where you had something to pop in on?
No, well, I was just agreeing with Michelle because I recently talked with a client that they said that they had to let one of their really good service technicians go because he was talking on the phone and he wasn't talking about the customer, but he was talking very negatively about a certain thing and just happened that the wife was upstairs not feeling well. She was in bed, but directly above where he was at and could hear everything and called and complained about it and said, get him out of my house. I don't care where he's at in the job. Get him out of my house. So, definitely need to watch. Yeah. You know, something else, I know it's not within the home, but recently on our Nextdoor app, we had somebody, and it turned into probably about 20 people had posted pictures or video of a guy that came to their door. And, you know, he pushes the doorbell and he's looking around and he goes over to the lawn and he's looking around and he's kind of, you can see him almost like he's counting things. And, you know, all these people are like, oh, he's casing out the joint and he's, you know, and all this other stuff. Somebody else pops in and says, oh, he came to my house. He's selling landscaping. And everybody is like, well, that's what he says he's doing, you know. And so this poor guy immediately, because all he's doing is trying to make a living, is he always casing the joint out, you know, and don't trust him. So a quick answer to that is in a lot of towns near me, you have to have what they call a peddler's permit. So if you go to the township and say, I need to get a peddler's permit, then at least you have something on you. Not only that, but leave literature. Because otherise they think that you're just you're just out casing the joint, you know. Somebody did pipe up and say, I know this guy personally. He's just earning a living. And then everybody shot him down. So, so just be careful out there.
I think it's a really great piece of advice. Have a business card or a postcard or something that has your name and phone number and company name and phone number on it. You know, so that they can call and ask and, you know, kind of verify that's a really good point, especially. Go ahead.
You're being recorded. People are going back when they see that there's, you know, or they're watching it from their phones or whatever. I don't know. I don't have that fancy technology. But, you know, if nobody's there, you're being recorded. Just say, hey, this is Jen with, you know, Moda Vitality. I was just checking in to see if you need any water treatment needs. And here's my telephone if you do. I mean, that way you don't look like you're casing the joint. You know? Let them know what you're there for.
That's another good point. It doesn't have to be something that they read. That's right. Mm-hmm. If you don't have anything, then state who you are and what you're doing. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that one, but great piece of advice.
Me
Anybody
neither,
else?
Just now. Dang, I would have a good Thursday.
No, that was really good. The mic dropped. So, any final thoughts from anybody else here on this?
This is Jose from Purified Solutions. Just wanted to say we have to be, hey guys, we have to just keep integrity no matter what, even if we don't think that there's a recording, but you should always assume that you're going to be on camera no matter where you are and who you're with.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Yes, absolutely. Nice to hear your voice, Jose. It's good to see you in Vegas a couple weeks ago.
Same here, guys. Same here. Yeah, absolutely. Great to see you guys. absolutely.
Anybody else? Guys, I think that is the end of the day. Please join us again for next week. Jim Stern will be our guest. I'm always excited to have guest speakers. We've got a couple of them coming up. Watch for that. We'll send that out. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Please be safe. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.